another installment of Geekly Debates. This time we actually are going to be doing Best Comic Book Writer because Jules is finally here again.
Finally.
Made it. I exist. It happens. Once in a while.
So go ahead with your favorite.
Yes.
Or the best. Your pick for best.
The best.
Yes, best and not favorite. That's an important distinction.
Very important distinction.
Very important distinction.
This is a hard one for me. There's a number of deserving candidates, but if I had to pick just one, I'm going to go with Neil Gaiman.
Terrific choice.
Great choice. Great choice.
His work on Sandman not only is one of the most prolific, well-acclaimed comic books ever written,
yes.
It's also a book that's carried almost entirely by the writing. It's not like it ever had bad art in it or anything.
No.
Never
it actually had terrific art most issues.
Some issues not so much.
Some issues I have to admit were kind of crummy in terms of art, but the writing was always strong, consistent, that it still managed to become one of the best things ever
Completely
put out.
Agree.
I totally agree with you.
Until recently, I can, with J.H. Williams III coming on, I could say that there's never been a real standout artist on Sandman.
I could agree with you.
It's still a fantastic book. Totally agree.
But he is probably of anybody who's ever written comics a writer's writer. You know?
He is. To this point where I would almost consider him a fiction novelist. More than it could be argued that
outside of Sandman, most of his other famous work are in prose. Coraline.
Graveyard
children's
book.
American Gods.
Yep. Stardust, my wife's favorite.
Yeah.
Stardust is good.
Amazing.
Amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And the few episodes, the best episodes of Doctor Who, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, my personal favorite episode of Doctor Who is The Doctor's Wife.
Yes.
The TARDIS
and if we were talking all around writer, not just specifically comic book writer, hands down Neil Gaiman. Hands down.
In terms of people who are famous for writing comics who write other things.
Exactly. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Okay. But that's my opinion. What have you guys got?
Yeah, go ahead, Jules.
In my personal opinion,
Chris Claremont.
Seriously? Oh my goodness! That's who you're going with?
I'm going with Chris
Claremont.
Okay,
go ahead. Explain yourself,
changed
sir.
The game as far as what we consider the standards.
We're arguing best, not influential.
You could use influential.
Influential can be an important part of it.
Because,
sure.
Yeah, agree.
If you're the best, everyone takes a little of what you do.
Okay.
And if
we were arguing influential, it would be Stan Lee, hands down.
Yeah, Stan Lee's most influential writer, correct.
Yeah.
But he didn't write the best stories, in my opinion.
True.
And I will also say that Stan Lee had a whole lot of help from everyone else that he was working with.
Well, sure, but he's the common thread between all these characters that still stand around today.
Yes.
It always helps to have Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby's doing most of the writing through his art. Yeah,
Steve Ditko.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
John
Romita
Sr.
Go ahead with Claremont. Go ahead.
Because Claremont, to me, he did something to comic books, which we all see now every day in so much standards, mm-hmm. as far as how the characters feel.
Yes.
As far as Stan Lee, created the characters with some serious issues.
He's also credited with giving anxiety to superheroes. But you argue that
Claremont really fleshed it out. He created characters like Nightcrawler,
who
is this wonderful Christian character who looks like a demon,
who
hates the way he looks,
who
has serious issues with who he is as a person.
He has trouble
resisting
God, because of the way he looks,
and the way people treat him, even though he's a great Catholic, and becomes a priest at one point,
and that would have never happened without Claremont's writing and the way they use, just for example, Nightcrawler later, where he comes to terms with his and comes to terms with God. It's a journey that every human being takes.
Sure, there were seeds that Claremont planted that. They have had a huge impact on comic writing as a whole.
Yeah.
I would argue, though, that...
And the Dark Phoenix saga is, as we all know, the quintessential...
Phoenix saga is probably the best...
It stands up today,
but a lot
and
of...
And Days of Future Past, the first timeline mess up.
Doesn't stand up so well.
Yes, it does not stand up at all.
It tends to run a bit soap opera-y.
It feels old.
The writing can feel a bit stiff at times.
Yes.
But that's like saying Shakespeare doesn't stand today because the writing's a bit old.
But that's different. Well, Shakespeare did it first. That's what makes it stand all the time. Yes, it does. That's what makes it stand. And now you're comparing Chris Claremont to William Shakespeare. So now you've just totally ruined your entire argument.
Okay, well, you make your argument for you.
My argument is easy. If you take Sandman away from Neil Gaiman, he isn't even barely a comic book artist. If you take the X-Men away, or whatever, a writer. If you take the X-Men away from Chris Claremont, he's barely a comic book writer.
Alpha Flight?
My choice is Alan Moore. Watchmen. It's really the only book I need to say, but let's take Watchmen away from the man.
Oh, God.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, V for Vendetta, From Hell. Mm. He's written everything from Doctor Who to Star Wars, as far as Neil Gaiman wrote small little things. Alan Moore also wrote those things for
Well, for counting their bit parts, I mean, Gaiman's also written Spawn.
Agreed.
Wrote, which is
agreed.
The Miracle
Man. Agreed, yes. Yeah. Alan Moore also had his own runs on
Eternals.
Miracle Man.
True.
Yeah. 1602.
Yes, exactly.
Marvel 1602 is one of the best... Yes. Elseworlds, I don't think it's
because the whole universe is written by Neil Gaiman.
Well, then let me continue. His Captain Britain is probably the definitive Captain Britain. His Swamp Thing is probably
Britain.
Yeah, Captain Britain.
It's British.
I say him like they say it over in England.
They don't say
Captain Britain.
They really don't.
That's just moving on.
Anyway,
that's my
categorically wrong.
His Swamp Thing is the definitive Swamp Thing. Anytime there's any discussion of the best Batman story of all time, the Killing Joke, the definitive Joker story is brought up. His Superman, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, one of the best Superman stories ever written.
I'm going to disagree a little bit on Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow.
It's still one of the best.
It's pretty solid, and it definitely holds a special place in history. But
it's not All-Star Superman. I'm not giving it that.
Ah.
I'm just showing Alan Moore as
a
writer.
All-Star Superman. I'm not a fan of that story.
Oh, really?
Oh, you're a fool, Jules.
Yeah, you're
Superman of all seasons is the best
that's
Superman
great
story.
That's great
about,
too.
We can talk about Grant Morrison in a minute, but let's go ahead and talk about. Let's finish talking about Alan Moore.
Yeah.
That's hard. Alan Moore is very hard to argue against.
You
just mentioned
impossible.
A very large body of work, a lot of classic stories, including what a lot of people consider, and I myself included, the best one ever written, Watchmen.
Right, Watchmen.
One of the best novels, not just graphic novels, one of the best novels ever written.
Fair point.
I think it's almost impossible not. It's almost too easy of a choice
for
Alan Moore. For me to choose him.
I felt like it was a chump choice.
It kind of was,
chump
but
choice.
It's not mentioning him in a discussion is almost, a disservice to the whole genre.
Okay. So
it's a fair. I mean, we shouldn't shy away from an obvious pick.
Yes.
I mean,
Frank
they're
Miller.
Usually obvious picks for a reason.
Frank Miller, Grant Morrison.
Frank Miller.
Grant Morrison. Stop saying that name.
Grant Morrison and Frank Miller.
Worst
both,
writer.
They kind of fall.
Frank Miller,
I can talk about them both at the same time here almost because they both have great work, but they also hit the other end of the scale sometimes.
Yes, they do.
They are all.
Grant Morrison more than
not a lot
Frank
of consistency.
Miller.
Well, lately Frank Miller, what with the what was the thing about like fake Batman goes to fight Al Qaeda? Not very good.
Not very good. No. Grant Morrison on Batman and Robin.
Dark Knight Strikes
Batman
Again.
And Robin
nowhere near the quality that Dark Knight Returns.
Totally
was.
Agree. You can definitely say as far as Neil Gaiman and Alan Moore go, there's a whole lot more hit than shit.
Yeah.
But with those two creators, there is probably maybe even almost an equal amount of hit and shit.
I don't know about that, but there's definitely
a noteworthy portion
of
really that,
miss.
Yes. The thing about Grant Morrison...
The miss to hit ratio isn't nearly as good.
Yeah.
A lot of his hits end in shit.
Who?
Grant Morrison.
Yes.
Most of like his new X-Men was awesome until the last five issues.
Until he doesn't know how to finish a book.
His Justice League of America was awesome, JLA, excuse me.
Yeah.
Until the end. And it was awful, and it ruined the whole thing.
Does anyone think that, in the context of this discussion, this debate, does anyone think we are ignoring current writers because of the greatness of the old writers?
I mean, that's inherently difficult to argue.
It is.
Quote, unquote, current events.
Jeff Johns,
we
Bendis,
don't know,
John Bendis,
we do
Hickman.
To some degree, we do judge these things by their place in history.
Yes.
Right.
Have they gotten their chance to circulate through? Have they gotten their chance for the critics to come to a consensus?
Are these writers today simply in the shadow of these writers that we're talking
it's
about
possible.
So much that we're
not
even
go
in the
ahead
discussion?
And say definitively, I don't think I'm ever going to argue Bendis for
never.
Best.
I totally agree with you. I would never argue Bendis.
I would argue
the
Hickman
writers.
For best, though.
Hickman, maybe.
He doesn't have enough. He's got
quite a bit. He's got quite a bit of good body work already. Spectacular.
I think once, if it ever happens, if Hickman is able to move over to DC and really show his chops in DC, it could happen.
Is that a criteria you're putting? They have to work for both the big.
I'm not saying it's a criteria. I'm saying that there's a difference between the two publishers in the very essence of their books.
And I think that if Hickman,
he's written here and there.
Technically Sandman was a DC book. Yeah. Because Martian Manhunter appears. But other than that, I can't think of another.
He's written issues at least of Batman here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's written issues here and there.
Because I know he's written a lot of Marvel books.
Yeah.
The Eternals.
Yeah. I mean, and that's Alan Moore. He hasn't written nearly as much Marvel, hardly any, as compared to the stuff on DC. Mm-hmm. But I think writing for Marvel, you write for the real world. When you're writing for DC, you write for superheroics. And I think it's definitely a fine line.
There's different Claremont house styles.
So. Exactly. Exactly.
Claremont just, man.
No, there's no argument that Claremont redefined the most prolific superhero team ever created. He redefined them. But there's also no argument that Grant Morrison didn't do the same thing. He did, with his new X-Men. The new X-Men changed everything.
But new X-Men was adult.
It was
an adult X-Men.
But was Claremont not writing for a more...
Well, he wrote... That's the cool thing about Claremont's
more
run.
Mature audience?
He divvied the X-Men into four.
Okay.
And you got the Uncanny.
Yes.
The New Mutants.
Yeah.
Excalibur. And Alpha Flight.
Yeah.
And he gave you something for adults, something for teenagers, something for kids, and something for everyone else.
I'll give you that, but...
He created the idea... of there could be a wide range of readers for comic books. Claremont wrote for everybody.
I completely agree with that. There's no way to argue that, but I'm just saying, if you take the X-Men away from Chris Claremont, he's barely even a comic book writer at all.
Well, he doesn't really have a big claim to fame, at least.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I do acknowledge that you can say the same thing about Gaiman if you take away Sandman.
And I'll give you this for Gaiman. Looking at Claremont's X-Men as a whole, it's pretty much the same thing. Sandman is... distinctly different from arc to arc. I mean, it's the same characters, the same sort of ideas, but his stories are so broad. Mm-hmm. There's a huge scope to what Sandman does, which gives Gaiman even more credit in the context of this current discussion. I think so, anyway.
Sandman's definitely a big asset. Like I said originally, just because that's such a writer-heavy book.
Oh, yes.
As a showcase for best writer.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, in my opinion, my front runner, who we haven't mentioned, was Jeff Loeb.
As far as his colors go,
his colors
are amazing.
His Long Halloween, his Dark Fantasy.
I'm going to have to bring up Inconsistency again.
Do it.
Long Halloween is great. Superman for All Seasons is good. Hush was pretty solid.
Hush was solid.
But then you have stuff like his run on Hulk.
Red Hulk stuff.
I always define that there's Jeff Loeb pre his son's death. And Jeff Loeb post his son's
death. It is a bit. I can't speak to what sort of thing he's going through.
And I don't think we should.
If I'm just objectively looking at the quality, though,
and you can't put him in even top five.
We can do that for Frank Miller too. I don't know what happened in his personal life, but the man's clearly gone insane.
Yes, yes. Alan Moore's always been
but
insane.
But you can't say
Alan Moore like
just terrifying.
He feeds on street people under the streets.
I don't even think Alan Moore.
He's Cthulhu. Alan Moore is Cthulhu.
I don't think Alan Moore writes most of the stuff. I think his beard's writing most of that.
I'm telling you.
His beard feasts on the souls of the living.
Of other comic writers, of inferior comic book writers.
But dude, you can't say that Jeff Loeb's hits aren't just greatest.
No, they are.
They're on when the stands.
When he's on, he is on.
Oh yeah.
I will give you the Red Hulk was terrible, but Grey Hulk is, in my opinion, one of the quintessential Hulk stories.
Oh, definitely.
You should read.
All of the color stories, the Daredevil
yellow was incredible.
Spider-Man blue, they are definitive stories for those characters.
If you never read Wolverine and Gambit.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
Awesome.
His Catwoman story was wonderful.
Yeah. Long Halloween might actually be my favorite. It's in top three.
I think
Long
Halloween
stories.
Is my number one Batman story.
And
Dark Victories, too.
Returns, I'll probably put Year One as my favorite as my usual go-to answer.
Definitely.
But, and that's Frank Miller again.
Yeah, Frank Miller. Yeah.
By the way, according to Frank Miller and Jeff Loeb, Year One... Long Halloween, Dark Victory, and Dark Knight Returns are all canon.
Yeah, and according to DC, none of them are.
None of them are. But according to the two writers...
New 52 now, they're doing all this Year Zero thing, which I think has been going on for about 4 years now.
It's almost up to 12 months. I think this issue this month is
it
issue...
It has to be more than 12 months.
Skipped a couple.
They skipped one.
Still, man. It's been going on way too long for a story we've heard 40 times before.
True.
A lot better than the one.
I mean, it did all that stuff with, like, Red Hood and Joker. Okay, it's a nice little story.
Yeah.
And then all this stuff.
But it started with Riddler. Yeah.
And now all this stuff with, like, dystopia Gotham that we know gets better.
Yeah, exactly.
We've already seen the end result. I don't understand what was the point.
Yeah.
No, but I'm not the editor over there. I'm not telling Scott Snyder, hey man, you should really calm down with this whole issue.
Hey which, guys, this is gonna be the last Nightwing, isn't it?
Yeah. Issue 30 is the last Nightwing.
Okay,
he's gonna be Winter Soldier. I mean Grayson.
We're getting off topic.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's been a fun episode.
It has been.
Definitely get into more next week. OutrageGeekery.com. ComicCity2.com. We couldn't do it without them.
Yeah. And tell us what you think we should debate.
Yeah, definitely give us
some feedback.
Some ideas. Yeah, we want to debate
what's
cool
the
stuff.
Best of the best.
I want to debate the best Star Trek episode of all time.
Oh,
that'd be a good one.
Maybe that's what we'll do
next
time.
That'd be a
great
one. And then we have to split
can we count
between
two-parters?
Episode. Of course,
okay.
We can count
as long as it's one story.
Yeah, it's one story.
Dude, yeah.
So off topic again.
Okay, until next time. Thanks, guys.